Welcome to Ratchet & Wrench Radio, an Endeavor Business Media podcast, bringing you strategies and inspiration for auto care success, featuring the voices of shop owners, thought leaders, and influencers from around the auto care industry. Today, my guest is Bill Greeno. Bill Greeno is the owner of Quality Automotive Servicing in Truckee, California. Bill co-owns that with his wife, Sheila. Bill is also an industry consultant who coaches shop owners. We're talking today about onboarding. If you recall from the February issue, the case study called House Rules, that was Bill Greeno talking about in a step-by-step format how he does his onboarding process. In this episode today, we're going to break that down even further. We're going to look at how he uses StrengthsFinder exams, how he uses consultants, how he uses his team, how it becomes an all-encompassing thing to onboard a person into his shop environment. Bill is known for having a phenomenal shop culture, and this is one of the reasons why. We're also going to take a look at how he develops his employee handbook and the importance for shops to have an employee handbook that's very specific. Bill talks about how, you know, the more documentation you have, the better. It protects both you and your team members so that everybody knows what the other expects. I hope you enjoy this episode, and here's a special announcement before we hit into the episode.
Psst, hey you. Yeah, you. Can I tell you how fired up I am about the 2024 Ratchet & Wrench Management Conference happening September 12th through the 14th at the Renaissance Orlando at SeaWorld in Orlando, Florida? That's right. Our theme this year, powering your shop, fueling the fun. When you register at rwconference.com, you'll join industry leaders for an exclusive business building conference for auto repair shop owners, operators, and managers. This year, it's a new location. It's a new format, and it's going to be a whole lot of fun. We've got over 30 strategy sessions. We've got roundtables. We've got keynotes. And best of all, we've got lots of valuable networking to put you in proximity of some of the industry's leading operators so you can soak in their knowledge. RWconference.com to register, and I'll see you in Orlando. And now, on to our guest. Well, hey, Bill, welcome to Ratchet & Wrench Radio.
Thanks, Chris. How are you?
Doing well, man. It's great to have you on. Great to see you, and great to talk about this all-important subject we're talking, which is onboarding. But before we dive in, tell us a little bit about yourself and about the shop.
Well, my name is Bill Greeno. I'm a coach with Elite Worldwide. I've been coaching in the industry for almost 15 years, and I own Quality Automotive Servicing and German Import Garage in Truckee, California.
Awesome. And in terms of California, in terms of geography, where is Truckee located?
It's near Lake Tahoe. It's on the northeast side of the state, about 20 minutes from Reno, Nevada.
Ooh, sounds like beautiful countryside there. Near Tahoe.
6,000 feet. We just got 10 feet of snow over the weekend, so we're still getting out.
Yeah, I typically don't think of snow when you think of California, but I guess when you're that close to Tahoe in the mountains.
That's
what we do. Yeah. So, you know, onboarding, you know, when did you realize as a shop owner that, you know, you needed an onboarding plan?
My process towards onboarding started a long time before I was a shop owner. I used to hire for a ski area up here in Tahoe, and I interviewed hundreds and hundreds of applicants at local colleges. I would travel, and they would schedule an applicant every 15 minutes for an interview. And so I learned very early on that I needed a process not only for making a consistent evaluation of each applicant, but also to help that applicant to understand either what department they were going to apply for or be assigned to, and some of the pieces and parts of next steps towards that job, which included, of course, onboarding. So the onboarding really begins at the initial meeting with the potential employee or applicant.
Yeah, I know you typically associate onboarding with the hiring, like the actual hiring of the person, giving them the paperwork, bringing them into the actual job, and then that's kind of like the onboarding process. But it's a lot deeper than that. Can you break that down, like starting with that initial interviewing process?
Sure. It begins with an expectation from the employee, So I began with what they're looking for. And of course, they're politicking for a job, right? They're trying to say all the right things. So before I give them any information about who we are and what we're looking for, I ask them what they're looking for. So that gives me a pretty good assessment of who they are and, again, what they think I want to hear. From there, I tell them that I'm going to send them, and this is current, I'm going to send them a StrengthsFinder, a Clifton StrengthsFinder assessment. And in that assessment, it'll show their strengths as defined in the book, Now Discover Your Strengths. The important thing about that is that this will tie back in later if and when they're hired. We will review, spend about an hour with a strengths coach that I know, and she comes in and she'll spend an hour with them discussing their strengths and how those strengths fit with all the other strengths of people on the team. The next step after that, if I decide that their strengths are compatible with those on our team and those of their job, then they'll come in for a regular sit-down interview. During the sit-down interview, I brief them on some of the things that are required of the job. I think a great description of this to simplify it would be the book, The Ideal Team Player. And what they decided in the book is the ideal team player is somebody who's hungry, humble, and smart. So in short, we basically let people know that that's what we're looking for. And smart isn't intelligent. It's smart is EQ. It's how socially aware that person is, social intelligence. And in that process, we let them know that if you're not hungry, getting after it, wanting to show up every day, if you're not humble, full of humility, somebody who can own their mistakes, but also be okay with other people making mistakes around them, and smart, somebody who can read the room, it's going to be really painful for you if you come on here. So we let them know that even though they might be thinking this is the job they want, we let them know that if they are not the person that we think is ideal, they should stop trying now. Then, of course, there's the team interview. The team interview is, I don't show up to that, and I don't show up to that for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is they've been petitioning me for a job from the start. Now they get the team. But what I make very clear to the team is you're going to have to work with this person 5 days a week, 8 hours a day or more. You need to be sure that this person understands your needs. So more than you might try to ask them gotcha questions, more than you might try to ask them, you know, what's the biggest challenge you've ever had and how'd you overcome it? Tell us about a time you made a mistake. You know, the classic interview questions. I encourage my guys to say, hey, your toolbox is going next to mine. And if you're a pig, it's going to be really difficult for you here. It's not going to work for me. You need to be clean and tidy. Or, you know, one of my guys doesn't like to talk while he's at work. So he lets people know. So again, before they're even hired, they're learning about the place that they may end up, which I consider a very long and important part of the onboarding process, even though we're still talking about interviewing.
I can imagine that for some, you know, the assessment just right at the very beginning can be a little bit intimidating. Do you ever have any issues with people curious about how the assessment works or worried about kind of the test taking anxiety that goes with performing on an assessment?
I think so. I think that it is a little bit daunting for a lot of people. I've only had one guy tell me he wasn't going to take it. And that was quick. Okay. Great. Thank you. And he goes, I think my resume is ample. I've provided you with all the information. I've answered all your questions. Why do I need to take that assessment? I said, well, it's a requirement. He said, well, I don't want to take it. I said, well, that's fine. I can't make you take it. So are we still going to meet? No, we don't. Nobody. I don't meet anybody unless they take the StrengthsFinder test.
So plain and simple.
it really easy for me on that one. He ended up taking the test, but that bird had already flown. He let the bird out of the cage. He wasn't my guy. So then, you know, if somebody's offered the job, we do the official onboarding. And the official onboarding is, God, I was just looking at my documents back here. My official onboarding is an amazing amount of paperwork in California. It's I'm actually just pulling it back up to see exactly how many documents there are. My handbook is close to 70 pages. The employee flyers in the state of California, 18 pages of rights, know your rights, EIC, earned income credit, sexual harassment, pregnancy, all those things. And then the ones that are near and dear to my heart outside of the I-9, the W-4, the withholding certificates are my releases. I have my at-will policy. I have my company monitoring policy. I have my photo release policy. I have my social media policy. And these, I think, are really important. The social media policy basically says, don't misrepresent yourself online. If you're online taking political positions, things like that, it's not going to work out for us. I can't have somebody who also has their name associated with my business being mean, nasty, rotten, inappropriate, or worse online. And of course, all these things can't come with a story. I'll spare you the story that brought that one on, but it was pretty gross. And it was a social media post that one individual decided to do shortly after coming to work here. The photo release policy came from another shop lesson that they learned, and they had an employee who left on good terms but went out and started his own shop and immediately turned around and slapped them with a lawsuit for having his picture all over their website. So I learned from their mistake. And then the company monitoring policy is super important, especially if you have to go back and review video to catch somebody having done something. If you're going to use that video to show them, hey, I see right here where you bumped into this guy and, you know, and shoved him. What do you have to say for yourself? He's complaining about, you know, that behavior. You want to have those things in place for your own protection. And I don't really care what state you're in. California, certainly we're known for being litigation happy, but just documents. And First Amendment, I can't, you know, can I enforce the social media policy? No, probably not. I can't take away somebody's First Amendment rights, but I can certainly tell them where I stand with it and have them sign a document. That's part of my onboarding. That's part of my culture. I want them to understand.
It's always funny, like when you hear of a process, you're like, I wonder what the story is behind that policy that was created, because there's always a story when the policy is created. So the handbook, are they responsible for learning the handbook, like basically just understanding the ins and outs and what you're expecting from them on the job? What's outlined in the handbook?
Yeah, the handbook is primarily boilerplate.
Okay.
But I go through it with them, and I tell them the parts that are boilerplate, and I encourage them to read them on their own. Actually, I send them a copy of this before we even meet. And then I have a few fun things that I like to do with them. Like I ask them about, how do you request time off? You know, I ask them the questions of the places where I think they may have paid attention to see if they've read it at all. So I quiz them a little bit. How do you ask for time off? What do you do when you're, you know, what do you do when you want to request that? How do you request paid time for sick pay? So on and so forth.
Now, so from your perspective, how detailed should an employee handbook be?
Well, from a lawyer's perspective, the more you can include, the better they can defend you should they need to. And then again, in my case, when I've had to defend myself against the California, Employee Commissioner. That's not the right term, but she's the person who is commissioned to protect the employees of the state of California. Her job, and I say her, she's a she. Her job is to win for employees, regardless of what was done wrong by the employer. And so the more information you have, proving that you have processes to make sure your employees get paid overtime, proving that your employees have the opportunity to take breaks, proving that they only work this many days a week, hours a day, and so on and so forth. If those start with your handbook, And then you can show a pattern of practice through everything else in your business. You've got a leg to stand on.
Now, something you do that I thought was very interesting is that you do phone training for everybody. Talk about that.
Sure. So yeah, the first thing after the onboarding process is everybody goes through phone training. And I want everyone to go through phone training because I want them to see that there is a standard protocol for the way we communicate with customers. And I mean, right down to not only a standard protocol, but a script. We all answer the phone the same way, within reason. I do give some artistic leeway for folks. But at the end of the day, we all say the same thing-ish when we answer the phone. And then our scripts from there are very consistent. You know, hey, how much is it to put an alternator in my vehicle? Oh, great. Thanks for asking. You know, what we're going to do here is we're going to set you up for diagnostic testing for our electrical system diagnostic, which is going to be $175. That's to inspect, test, repair, advise. You know, if we can, what that means is if we can fix it within that, we'll do so. It's a pretty intensive process. If we find something that's repairable, we will. If it's going to exceed that amount, require parts, anything like that, we're going to contact you first. And if it takes less than that amount of money, we'll give you a credit back. And I've got appointments available tomorrow. Would you like one? Have we seen the car before? They're going to get that same tempo, that same cadence of information, and they're going to get the same answer, regardless of what it is. You know, they're going to get quoted diagnostic testing. They're not going to get something else over the phone. And then the phone training goes right down to dealing with difficult customers. We know that not everybody is always happy with the answers that they get, especially if they're looking for something outside of what we do or are willing to do. So it gives them a little bit of an understanding of how that's handled. And even if they're a technician and they're not going to be in that situation normally, even if they're talking to somebody in person and the conversation gets challenging or tense, hopefully that phone training gave them a little bit of information, a few arrows in their quiver, a little ammunition, to be able to come out of that conversation with a win.
So okay. Once they complete the training on the phone, what comes next?
So I'll back up the
sure
the handbook. I stop after I give them their little quizzes, and and I go over specifically what our standards are, and I have 7-8 standards. And I spend some time on each of these, and I'll just briefly go over them, but mm-hmm. I won't go into them. Always strive for professional excellence. Understand and support Quality Automotive Servicing's mission and overall direction. Provide superior service to all customers. Be flexible, innovative, and responsive to change. That's a huge one. I usually spend more time on that one than any of them. Change can get pushed back against so much, and it's so difficult for some people. Manage human and financial resources wisely. Don't come to me and tell me you spent all your money this week and that you need an advance. Be a team player. Help others succeed. Encourage open communication throughout the company. Treat all individuals with dignity and respect. And so I do spend some time on that. And then I have my prohibited conduct is a page and a half long. And there again, I just ask people to take wild guesses. I mean, you got like 25 options of prohibited conduct. See if you can't find any of them in your imagination. So we have a little bit of fun with that. Anyway, that's more or less it for the handbook. There's a lot of handbooky things in there that need to be gone over. But once that's done, yes, phone training. And then for technicians, they're going to go out and they're going to spend some time, depending upon the level, right? There's different levels. If it's an apprentice versus a master tech, the way they start out is going to be different. An apprentice is actually going to go out and be required to draw a map of the shop. And I want them to map where they find every item in the shop. And I want them to also find out what every item in the shop does. So they actually draw a square box. And they put in, you know, air conditioning machine, da 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 da, brake flush machine, this, that, oil reels, this oil, that oil, and they'll bring it back to me. And without fail, I'll want more detail or answers about how the tools work. That's always fun. That's a great opportunity for the apprentices to get off on the right foot. Then whether it's an apprentice or a master tech, I'm going to have them shadow someone for the day. I don't want a master tech walking in there trying to pull his tools out and get working on a vehicle before he's seen how the dispatch process works. I don't want him out there trying to work on a car before he sees how somebody else pulls a car in and racks it. You know, there's every shop has its nuances of how things flow. Watch outs, you know, somebody's going to show you, well, you know, when you pull around this corner, watch out for that steel post over there. You wouldn't believe how many guys hit that thing or whatever it is. That's not at our shop. I'm just saying that these things happen. These things occur and they exist. That one day of spending time with somebody who's experienced on the job is really worth its weight in gold.
Okay. And how about on the front of the house?
Front of the house, it's going to be a longer process. Again, experienced versus inexperienced. Inexperienced is going to start with learning the shop management system. And while they're learning the shop management system, they're going to be making notes, not only about the shop management system, but about every phone call they hear. I want to be able to come in and talk to them at the end of the day about what they heard and questions they might have about things they heard, what they thought of the tonality of the person speaking, the employee. How they thought that responded to assumed questions that they may have heard that they may not have been able to hear, but could assume the answer or what the question was coming from the customer and so on. After a day of listening and a day of working the shop management system, I want them to be able to answer the phone and I want them to be able to take a message. And at this point, they've gone over how to take messages. If they're really excelling, they can jump right into possibly taking an appointment for something like a smog. We have emissions testing. It's a one click, super easy, one price fits all. You just need the basics. I need your name. I need your phone number. I need your email address. I need your address. I need your year, make, and model of your vehicle. If you've got your license plate or your VIN number, I'll take that too. And if they can do all that, you know, then they progress. You know, hopefully by the end of the week, they can meet a customer at the counter, but I don't want to rush them into talking to customers at the counter. Anyone who's confident enough to apply for a service advisor's job is generally, in my experience, confident enough to make shit up. Sorry. They're the first ones, instead of saying, I don't know, let me find out, which is another script that they need to learn. They'll say what they think is the right answer as if it is the right answer. I don't want to rush that. I don't want to put them in that position. An experienced service advisor, meanwhile, is still going to have to learn the shop management system more than likely. So they're going to go through the same process just a little bit quicker. They're going to be encouraged to answer the phone more quickly, but I want them also first to listen to the tone and the cadence of how our staff works the telephones so as not to put them into old habits. If I'm going to do a bunch of training, I need to do that and make sure it sticks.
Right. So, you know, how does a good, solid onboarding process, much like the one that you've developed, how does it safeguard both the shop and the team member?
Well, a good onboarding process, again, includes all your legalese and signatures unto that legalese from the employee. And I think that speaks for itself. As far as protecting the employee goes, It certainly gives them every opportunity to succeed. You know, the worst thing we can do is hire someone and expect them to know how to do the job just because they've got experience. And those are the people that get ruined the easiest, people that come knowing everything. You know, I've had master techs get really miffed, get a little bit sideways their first day when they show up and they're not allowed to touch a car. What do you mean? You know, I have to learn how to do my job. Well, you got to learn how to do your job here. It's different than the last place. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We get through that.
Yeah. But it seems like a good onboarding process, you know, also helps with maintaining the company's culture.
It's where culture is grounded. It's the foundation of their experience with the shop. And as a foundational principle, it's something you can refer back to. And that's where I bring it all the way back after they've been at work for a week or two. I bring it all the way back and have them revisit their strengths.
What goes on in that meeting when they revisit?
They discuss each of their five top signature strengths, and then they review the five signature strengths of every other employee in the shop and how to work with those things. And, you know, first of all, what their strengths look like, what everybody else's strengths look like, and what these people are going to be like. You know, if you have somebody with strategic arranger and activator are three of mine, I'm going to move really fast and I'm not going to have a whole lot of time for nonsense. And we're going to move from topic to topic to topic. And we're going to move without a bunch of us and ups, whoopses and ohs, I don't knows. It's next thing, right? So that's what it looks like when they're working with me. You know, there's other people who have things like Maximizer. You know, somebody who has Maximizer is going to be probably not interested in talking much at work, perfectly social outside of that. But if they're trying to get as much work done as they can during the day, I can tell you one of my technicians that's a Maximizer, just don't, unless it's hi, how are you? That's about it.
just about the business. Just about getting
it
done.
They need to learn that. They need to know. So that they don't get bent out of shape because that guy doesn't want to look at what you did over the weekend on your cell phone with your videos of the concert you were at or whatever. So now they understand that the place is legitimate. The place is protecting itself. The place also protects you. You're guaranteed this 401k, this benefit, that benefit. You know, you've been given the 27 flyers from the state of California explaining all your rights as an employee. And then you've been introduced to the culture. You've been introduced to how we regard and communicate with our clients. And they understand the internal culture and how one another work. So at the end of the day, man, if you can't make it working for me, good luck.
So Bill, you know, for shop owners who may be listening and who really don't have a thorough onboarding plan, you know, where would you say are the first steps to creating a good onboarding plan where, you know, that they can take action on even today?
Well, there are lots of human resources companies out there and they all have a template. Some are more involved than others. I'm taking a step back from my companies. My general manager is taking over the operations. So I've recently signed on with a human resources company to expand on our company culture's training. She calls it sticky business culture. And really what it is everything I just described. It's nothing new, but it's going to be a new version of it. It's going to be from somebody else's mouth than mine. So those opportunities are out there. And, you know, I'm sure if you were to Google search human resources company near me, you'd find plenty, not to mention every Facebook shop owners group out there probably has 100 different examples and ideas of who you should use. But that's where I would suggest starting. I think that's the best way. And then you've got your coaching companies and they all have phone training available. There's some great stuff out there. Nobody does it wrong. Everybody does. I mean, it's pretty similar. You know, it was all kind of, I'm going to say it was born of Margie Seifert. She started it and I still use her video. Actually, that's my phone training.
Well, Bill, thank you so much for the time to talk today. I love your process. Like I said, I think it's very thorough. It's very well thought out. And I'm sure that, you know, created a great culture, a great team. You were one of our best workplaces in 2022. So I know it works.
Yeah, here we are. I got it right here.
There it is. Yeah. Ratchet and wrench. Best workplaces. But yeah, man, I appreciate the time today.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Bill. That's going to do it for us today at Ratchet and Wrench Radio. Be sure to check out other episodes on your favorite podcast player and leave us a review if you found the episode to be helpful. Also, follow Ratchet and Wrench on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. You can get our newsletter delivered to your inbox 4 times a week, Ratchet & Wrench Insider, at ratchetandwrench.com/subscribe. Thanks for listening, and may the rest of your day be the best of your day. And we'll see you next week.